and 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Trump assassination attempt. I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump transported to his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club after the attempt on his life Saturday. The FBI identifying 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, a registered Republican, as the shooter, firing from a rooftop hundreds of yards away from the stage. The suspect killed at the scene. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens, Pennsylvania State Police.
At this time, we have no reason to believe that there is any other existing threat out there.
ABC's Martha Raddatz.
The shooter still managed to fire 8 rounds from an AR-15. And that crowd was there for a political event. The campaign will surely go on. The election will surely go on. But no one will forget this day. We have to remember that this is a day where someone tried to assassinate a former president and a presidential candidate.
In the crowd, one person killed, 2 others critically injured. This is ABC News.
They're praying.
Worries in Wisconsin after Saturday's assassination attempt on former President Trump. The Republican National Convention is set to start in Milwaukee tomorrow. ABC's Stephen Portnoy is there.
Already I've noticed an increased police presence on the city streets. There is traffic here in the downtown core of the city, but certainly they've tried to block the major exit leading into downtown off the main interstate here, I-43.
In other news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says there's no certainty yet that Hamas second-in-command Mohammed Deif was killed in a strike on southern Gaza Saturday. At least 90 people were also killed in the strike, including children, according to local health officials. Utah 14-year-old Elizabeth Gonzalez, along with her Mexican cousins, found safe in Veracruz, Mexico, nearly 2 weeks after they disappeared while visiting family in Mexico City. The FBI identifying 31-year-old Antonio Morero, Gonzalez's uncle, as a suspect in her disappearance. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention, like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or, worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Dow. A recent poll shows how older voters view the race for president. Mike Moan reports.
The poll in this crucial battleground state, released by AARP, was conducted right after the first debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. In Wisconsin, Trump now leads Biden by 6 percentage points among voters 18 and up, according to this new survey. Pollster Bob Ward helped lead the effort, and he points out that a very high percentage of voters 50 and older are extremely motivated to cast their ballot, more so than younger populations.
There's typically a motivation gap, but not by the size that we're seeing now. And that's what makes this election really different and why it makes the voters 50 plus such a key deciding block in the electorate.
83% of voters 50 and older said a candidate's position on Social Security is very important in shaping their vote. Medicare was at 72%. More than 1,000 likely voters around Wisconsin were interviewed, with an oversampling of nearly 450 likely voters past the age of 50. The age of the leading presidential candidates is dominating national rhetoric about the election, but Ward emphasizes that under this poll, voters strongly indicate they're not too happy about their economic situation.
The debate had its impact on this race, but I think the fundamentals of this race is that people are really feeling an economic pinch.
Despite a strong jobs market, economic factors like inflation and rising prices were cited as a key concern among older adults. Ward says it appears President Biden is taking the blame for that sentiment, but overall, both candidates are not looked at favorably. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. One or two showers or storms will give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs will top out in the upper 80s this afternoon as our wind turns to the northwest. For the overnight, mostly clear skies. Lows will drop to the middle 60s. One or two storms possible. It's 66 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll preview the start of the Republican convention, and the League of Women Voters will give us their take on those constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
You know, they've been, I am awake. Hey, that, I see what you did there. Hey, you know, they've been with us since day one, and I just want to give them a special shout out. Great coffee. And I got to say, tell you this quick story, Haley, before we get our guest on, is that when this show was started because of Standing Rock and, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline, and one of the big, you know, we went there three or four times, Wendy and I, and every time we went there, we would take 50 pounds of coffee from Steve's coffee shop for free to bring to people at Dakota Access Pipeline and at Standing Rock, and all the water protectors there were drinking Steve's coffee. And I just want to give Steve a shout out. He supports our community in with his coffee and with his just being him. So I just wanted to give him a shout out of that. That was like an important thing that I remember from like the beginning of the show, but also the show starting during Standing Rock and Dakota Access Pipeline.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I don't think I had ever heard that story. So, wow. That really kept people awake out there, huh?
Yeah. It was good to, you always had to have coffee around the sacred fire there at Standing Rock. And, a lot of people donated a lot of stuff, but I just wanted to give a special shout out to Steve for sending me with all that coffee every time we went. So,
absolutely.
So we got our special guest on today, as always, and we want to bring Ruth on. And you know, Ruth Buffalo is the president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, and we always love to have an update with Ruth and talk over things and see what's happening. Ruth, welcome as always to Native Roots Radio, and we really appreciate you coming on, and we know your time is super valuable.
Yes, hello and Madzigabads, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so how are things going? I know we had a 4th of July situation here. And I know Haley and I were up at Red Lake, and that was the first time I'd ever been at Red Lake, and celebrating in a good way with the Red Lake community up there. And, you know, and it seems like it's been a couple weeks since you've seen you, but it's been because of that 4th of July experience.
Yeah, for sure. It was my family's first time spending some time in the cities. So yeah, it was nice to be together. And yeah, we weren't able to make it out west to western North Dakota, to Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. But yeah, we were here, you know, just having fun with family and family time, I guess you could say.
That's awesome. And I got to meet your husband for the first time and had a nice conversation with him. It's just great that your family is here, and we can support you in the work. And then in the interim, you can support us here. And that's been just a great partnership. How are you doing? Has it been like 6 months that you've been the head of this organization?
No, not even 6 months. But yeah, it was good to see you both at the Four Sisters Farmers Market. Yeah. That's where I actually got these earrings. I really love them because they're like super lightweight. Nice. And then the abalone shell. Yeah, I have another pair too. But yeah, we're, you know, in the process of transitioning down to the Twin Cities area and sort of tying up loose ends and things. But I began employment, or took over the post, I guess you could say, or transitioned into the CEO position, CEO president position, March 4th. So it's about going on 4 months, I would say. March, wow. April, May. Yeah, this month it will be 5 months. So it's been good. I mean, it's been good. Huh. It's been good. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of challenges, and a lot of it has to do with the way, you know, Native Americans are treated in the community, and to fight for our people and have all these services that you guys have in a good way. That's draining, and it's also really good work too. So it's what are you doing for your mental health? I guess, you know, it's good to have your family there, but you have to take care of yourself too.
Yes, for sure. And I used to, you know, lead a wellness program at a tribal college for 7 years. And so, yes, it's always like a good reminder to get back to the basics and sort of like practice what, you know, we were teaching students, because I used to be adjunct health and wellness instructor at United Tribes Technical College years ago. And so we're trying to incorporate some of the, you know, self-care and even like a half hour of wellness during the workday outside of your lunchtime. But yeah, trying to really stay grounded, and I like meditation. And so I went through a process last October, and it was really, really good. And it's a tool or a mechanism to help us heal, but also to change like negative patterns, negative thought patterns. And so kind of rewiring how we think and how we respond to different things in life. So yeah, I think of that. I think it's been a helpful tool. And the things that are provided, like, they, you know, we have access to and just different learning tools and things that really are there to help support. So it's really comes down to finding time to make sure and staying disciplined, but, you know, finding the time to take time to meditate, and, you know, just doing it. I think it's easier said than done, but to then get into a routine to make sure that it becomes a habit is important.
Yeah. And mental health is really important. And like I said, it's, you know, you're not only, working and supporting our community, but you know, you have a family and you have your own mental health, and it's stuff that we like to talk about here in Native Roots Radio too, is how are you doing that, because you have a heavy load and it's good and you're up to the task, but it's still a heavy load. And you know, we think of you often here on Native Roots Radio, and we're glad that you can come in and check in and tell us what your organization and what you need and how we can support you. And I just really cherish the time that we get you on the air, Ruth. I really appreciate you and your family.
Matzegedad, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that support means a lot and goes a long way. And you're right. You know, it is a heavy load, a big responsibility, because we're trying to help, you know, the most vulnerable among us, and we have to be well ourselves in order to be effective, you know, and serve our relatives, our client relatives, to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back with Ruth after this short break.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Ruth Buffalo, who is president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we just appreciate Ruth. And Ruth, you know, some of your history, too. I just want to remind our listeners out there that you're a state representative, and you have an iconic photograph of you being sworn in the first time. And that's kind of how I met you. I saw that picture, and then I think I saw you, geez, I don't know if it was Wounded Knee or first time I met you, or anniversary of Wounded Knee, and you were speaking at a church there, and I came up and introduced myself. And then, I don't know, were you at the presidential debate, too, in Iowa? Maybe that's where I met you, too. Or I'm getting mixed up.
Yep, Sioux City, Iowa. And then I was at a fundraiser for a women's shelter in St. Paul, too. And
all that wrestling match.
Yeah.
And State Senator Mary Kunish, and she was representative there, interviewed you. Oh, my
yes.
God.
Yeah. Yep. I remember. And then,
And then one of the things, too, I wanted to bring up, and we bring up with these old veterans that were on the when COVID hit, you were huge in and didn't miss each week. On Sundays, we did a Sunday night symposium, and it was a check-in all over the Turtle Island with leaders and what was happening with COVID. And we knew COVID was insane, and people, I mean, we didn't know how it was spread. People were taking their clothes off if they were work, you know, at the door and things like that. We didn't know. And you had so many connections and people you've known over the years that came on and spoke their truth. There was a doctor, that first Native American woman doctor that you brought on, and I think you played basketball with her.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Dr. Shelley Tom. Yeah, I used to play independent ball with a group of Dene women. I was the only Northerner on the team for a while there. And then I later, you know, started playing with teams from back home. But yeah, when I was in my younger days, I played independent ball. And then for a number of years, it was with a number of women who were Dene, and all of them had played Division One basketball. And one being the first Native woman to play in the WNBA, Rinaldi Basenti. And wow. So, yeah, to Arizona State University. And she actually came to Fort Berthold Indian Reservation one year when Indian Nationals was held in Bismarck. And we took her around, you know, to each of the different six segments or districts within our reservation or community. And she, I think she even was the keynote speaker at the junior high athletic banquet in Twin Buttes. But yeah, it was an interesting time during COVID, and a very interesting time to be an elected office at that time, you know, because of, you know, in North Dakota, you serve 4 years in one term. And so we're pretty unique in that regard. Mm-hmm. I get the stats mixed up, but it's either one of five and one of four, one of five states. North Dakota is one of five states that serves 4 year terms instead of 2 year terms in the state legislature. And then also we meet, the legislature meets every other year instead of every year, you know, and but during the pandemic, yeah, like my first session was completely night and day to my second session. And my second session was right during the pandemic, you know, so it was an extremely polarized session. You know, it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, it was hard to maneuver. And I want to kind of jump back to that. You were so important, and we were getting 15,000-20,000 people watching us on our Sunday symposium, and that were checking in all over Indian country, and you were huge in that. And we had that for at least, God, I want to say at least 3 months every Sunday, because we didn't know what was going on, and it was kind of interesting. We were supporting each other in a good way, and Trump was president, and he tried to delist a tribe that was one of the first tribes to meet the Mayflower. And it was insane times, but it was good to be able to hear people's truth and how they were getting through with things.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I remember watching the inauguration of the new president, and I believe, I was, my family had gotten sick during the beginning of my session, and I was actually hospitalized, you know, 5 days with pneumonia, and then the QAnon conspiracy theories and all of that happening at that time. I remember one of our leaders told me, you know, when I got discharged, I think Thursday night, and I was going to go to the House floor session the next day and go to my House Ag Committee meeting Friday morning at 10 a.m., but I was told it was probably best that I head back to Fargo and come back Monday morning, because they had just moved all of my hearings to my bills. You know, they pushed them back a week because I was hospitalized, but because of how polarized things were, they recommended that I just not show up Friday, because they had just moved all of my bill hearings back a week because I was hospitalized. And so just interesting things to look back at. And I remember even what was happening at the nation's capital, people at the legislature they were afraid and concerned on whether or not to go into the legislative session on certain days, you know. And I was a member of some of Biden's policy committees, public health and behavioral health, and So it was interesting also to like watch the inauguration and things and see Bernie sitting in the crowd, because I was a Bernie delegate, but got asked to be a part of like Biden's policy committees during his that summer when he was, you know, running for his first term. And it was interesting, but it was kind of neat to see how they mapped out the first 100 days and, you know, what to achieve. And we sort of had a small part in that. So watching the inauguration, you know, on TV kind of hit a little bit differently, because felt like we kind of had a part in it.
Yeah. And Bernie had his mittens on and somebody knitted me or crocheted me Bernie doll with his mittens on. I should grab that. It was in the studio.
I love all the memes, especially the native memes that were circulating through social media of Bernie.
Well, mine was a favorite, was Thomas and from Smoke Signals. They were in the bus and Bernie was sitting behind him in the seat with his mask on. That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah,
I was all Bernie. But just before that, though, I mean, when we were talking about when COVID first came around, it was interesting because there was no vaccine, and we forget about that. So when you have pneumonia and when you're sick, we don't know how far that's going or who else is going to catch it. We have a short memory, but I do remember that when we start talking about it, it's heavy duty.
For sure. I mean, it was, and then, you know, the vaccines were a contentious item and masks were a contentious item. And in the state legislature, amongst the legislators, and you know, even trying to ask to sit on the outside circle of committee rooms, and I'm not crying around or complaining or anything, but just sharing, you know, a little bit of that experience, how people weren't very compassionate, you know, and nobody really told me when I left the hospital that I would be almost like breathing out of a straw, you know, after you have pneumonia. And I literally like fought to get out within, because I felt like the longer I was staying in there, I was getting worse, you know, and with different things. And so, yeah, I just had to get out of there. It was kind of a scary time. And so, cause I had an auntie, an aunt that passed away a month before that from pneumonia. And then, so my children were super scared and, you know, and then wearing a mask in the legislature, after still trying to get your lungs back, you know, was extremely challenging.
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons why we don't want to remember that. It was pretty traumatic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to our friend, Dr. Stately, about this, and, you know, Dr. Stately, and he almost died. He had COVID in the hospital and he was very, very sick and made it out of it. But, and that was before, you know, the vaccines and all that would protect us and make us less sick. I want to, we got like a minute left, and I want to circle back and talk about your organization. And again, I want you to give us a quick update and how people can support you and support your work.
Yes, please donate if you can. You know, it is going to take some heavy lifting to get MIWRC back into a strong place, and to continue being the historic pillar that MIWRC is in the community. And so, you know, we're approaching our 40th anniversary on September 16th. So I just want to encourage everybody to follow us at our new Facebook page, and it's all in caps, at MIWRC. We also have the old Facebook, Instagram account, MIWRC Minneapolis, MPLS on Instagram. But donate, miwrc.org/donate. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ruth. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for all you do for the community. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News, Trump assassination attempt. I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump transported to his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club after the attempt on his life Saturday. The FBI identifying 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, a registered Republican, as the shooter, firing from a rooftop hundreds of yards away from the stage. The suspect killed at the scene. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens, Pennsylvania State Police.
At this time, we have no reason to believe that there is any other existing threat out there.
ABC's Martha Raddatz.
The shooter still managed to fire 8 rounds from an AR-15. And that crowd was there for a political event. The campaign will surely go on. The election will surely go on. But no one will forget this day. We have to remember that this is a day where someone tried to assassinate a former president and a presidential candidate.
In the crowd, one person killed, 2 others critically injured. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers lose to the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals Saturday, 6-5. Milwaukee had jumped out to an early 5-0 lead in the bottom of the first, but never scored again. Manager Pat Murphy.
Game doesn't let you do that sometimes, you know what I mean? The game treats you bad. It's kind of all came together for us with the same type of wins we had. The other teams are beating us that way. They're young, nothing to lose, playing free.
Washington manager Davey Martinez on how the Nationals offense came alive finally.
Our bats were really good. You know, we didn't chase as much. We got the ball in the zone. Everybody made good contact today.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Bulls 96-89. In Summer League action, first-round draft pick A.J. Johnson with 13 points. How do you feel after his first game in the NBA?
It felt great, actually, just to be out there. Have my first NBA game. It's nothing like it. There's no other feeling like it. But I definitely wish I could have got the win. You know, it was definitely a good experience, for sure.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Johnson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. 1 or 2 showers or storms will give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs will top out in the upper 80s this afternoon as our wind turns to the northwest. For the overnight, mostly clear skies. Lows will drop to the middle 60s. 1 or 2 storms possible. Currently 65 degrees.
Crop insurance is designed to protect your livelihood, but gaps in your coverage can still leave you exposed. A hail insurance policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services fills those gaps. Unlike multi-peril policies, Crop Hail offers coverage on an acre-by-acre basis and can protect the full value of your crops. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Bob.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for a look at the forecast for the weekend. Brian Kuklinski swings in from the Green Bay Rockers.
Then we'll play a round of Who Are You? That'll be fun.
Well, that's debatable. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Gentry, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Keep those phones ringing. Hey, Haley, we're really excited. We're going to be talking to the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board here and get some information and stuff. What, could you do me a big favor and introduce everybody?
Absolutely. I would love to. Well, we're here right now with Carrie Day Aspinwall, Emma Pashuda, and Carrie Christensen of the Minneapolis Parks and Recs Board. And we're here to talk about current and future plans. Thank you all so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, big peenigi. Thank you, Haley. And welcome. And we've had a conversation before, and we're really excited to talk again. And I want to just throw this question out with right away to everybody is what is the park board up to with the Native acknowledgement work that you've been working on? Can you tell us a little bit about that? And maybe we can go to our friend here. Let's see, who should I pick, Haley? No.
Well, Carrie Day Aspinwall, we do have two Carries on right now.
Oh, I'm and so confused.
Carrie, great to see you. I think the last time I, you know, was on the show with you was probably when guest host Robert Lilligren took over and invited you on. So welcome back. And how are the, you know, Native representations and all of that coming along with the parks?
Bonjour. We're so glad to be back on the show this evening. Carrie Day Aspinwall. I'm a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, urban member, lifelong urban member, Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, consulting with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board on their Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan. We've been doing quite a bit. These guys are at a fast pace. They really want to, they're committed and they're backing it up with resources to make some changes within this huge system, 140-year system. And that's what I said too. I did quite a bit of research before actually saying yes, because I thought I was supposed to be shuffling off to Buffalo, you know, and they're like, oh no, you're not going anywhere yet. So I do have the honor of helping these good folks with their desire to include our Indigenous voices and re-engage our people, especially the Dakota people. Mm-hmm. You know, historically, as you all know, this is historically Dakota territory. Mm-hmm. And so again, the park board holds about 8,000 acres of land, water, and sky, I always say.
Right.
And that's 800 parks. You know, and so it's quite a bit. They're very squarely centered here within our territory, within Indigenous territory. And I've had the pleasure of working with Carrie Christensen initially, and she's our Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, one of our senior planners, and really doing some phenomenal work. This is a heavy lift in a mm-hmm. system that doesn't really have the in a system that wants to change, but are very apprehensive, and rightly so. We're apprehensive too. I mean, our Indian community is very careful about all of this relationship and the plan, and it's going well. And we are engaged with the Dakota people, some very key people in our community, some of which you all know very well. Mm-hmm. Also with Emma Pashuda. We're more on the ground with Emma because we're out at East Phillips Park doing some master planning and doing some community engagement about what do people want to see at this park. It's East Phillips Park as well as Cedar Field. And, you know, we always felt like Little Earth was like the owner of Cedar Field. But it is Minneapolis Park and Rec. We've had a great relationship with Little Earth over the years. And we're looking at some phenomenal improvements over there. The community is excited. We're going to be doing some engagement within the next week or so, couple weeks, with the broader East Phillips community. They're getting excited. So it's well-deserved improvements, some really super engaged park participants, residents, our community. So I think what we've got going with this partnership is going in a good direction, and it's being well received. Well, ladies, want to chip in or?
Before they jump in, Carrie, I just got to say it's so important for natives to be at the table, and I just want to say a big peeny gigi for you being that person. And you just have to tell these guys a little bit about Indian time if they're moving too fast for you. Ho-wah.
Oh, thank you very much. My grandpa used to say, when you're ready, then things will start. Or when we're done, then it'll be done. And I was telling these girls, I said, you know, my grandpa used to host Big Drum up north where he was from in Mille Lacs, Chiminissing. And those ceremonies would go for days. I would go to sleep in my grandmother's lap and wake up in her lap or in one of my aunt's laps. And that's because the things that we were discussing were so very important to all of our people, not just the Mille Lacs Lakers, but I mean, everybody that lived in that area. And there were very, very significant discussions and negotiations that went on. So again, and we never took anything lightly. And this is where I learned this from, was from my grandpa. And I, you know, it may feel like I'm dragging my feet sometimes, ladies, but I do so for a reason. I do so for a reason. And I've mentioned it to you a few times, with this work is not fast. You can't do it fast. It took 140 years for us to get here. Now we got to unwind some of that, and it's going to take some time.
Thanks, Carrie. Emma, I'm going to go to you next because I don't want to go Carrie, because then I'll start getting confused. But Emma, you know, how important, you know, has it been in a learning experience for you about what Carrie One has been saying about us and how things that are different from when you learned in school that are more of a reality now. How does that look to you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Robert. I've been so lucky and fortunate to be able to work with Carrie Day. I've learned so much from her. She's been such an invaluable resource on the work that we're doing together. And as she mentioned, you know, we are on the ground really working with the East Phillips park planning process. We are working to create some new improvements or new designs for Cedar Field Park and East Phillips Park. In regards to your question about, I think you asked sort of like, what have I learned, or how have I sort of evolved in my thinking? To be quite honest, I've worked with a lot of different cultural communities in St. Paul before I came to the park board, but I've actually never worked with the Native community. So I'm learning a whole lot. I hope Carrie Day agrees that I really try to listen and pause when we're working on the ground. And we really have tried to respond a lot to what we're hearing from the community. We are trying to not move very quickly. We actually are trying to really hear what folks are saying and think about how our park planning process can really respond to what the community is saying.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. And Carrie number two, Carrie Christensen. This is just so I don't get confused, but the education is a big role, and not only for you guys in leadership, but the people that work for the parks too. How is that a challenge, and how are you meeting it as a challenge to educate about Native ways and Indigenous ways?
Yeah, thanks again for having us. And I echo everything that Emma says about working with Carrie Day. I think having her here, I think she named it on day one, of part of my role is to educate and to be here to represent my people. And I think that's a beautiful continuous thread of education that's happening across the system on a daily basis with the first ever Indigenous Parks Liaison, which is the role that Carrie Day is playing. And then I would also, this summer actually, I think we informally called it our Summer of Learning, and there's been a lot of amazing field trips that have been happening for staff across the agency. We did a field trip and work session in the cultural garden at Prairie Island a few weeks ago with the amazing plant wisdom human that is Nikki Buck and her crew. So that was our natural resource management staff and our environmental education staff were there working alongside her. And that was just an incredible experience for all of us that were there. We also were able to visit the new and amazing Minneapolis American Indian Center, which if you've been to Minneapolis parks, you know that recreation centers are a big part of what we offer community. But man, to see that space and just what a jewel of community and what a community center that place has become in its sort of new incarnation is just so inspiring. We learned a ton about offering services to community in built form and in programmatic form while we were there. We also actually are hosting the Why Treaties Matter exhibit up here at Park Board headquarters. We are located up on West River Road, right just north of Broadway in North Minneapolis. If anyone cares to come and check out the exhibit, it's up for another week. It's open to the public. It's in our sort of lobby area. So that's part of this is community learning, part of it's staff learning, part of it's leadership learning. And I'll just, my one last very exciting development is that next Wednesday, we're working with our Board of Commissioners to do some almost like a circle process of learning around Dakota past, present, future connections to the region. And we'll be working toward some statement language, some commitment language, some pledge language with them in this sphere of reconciliation, of Indigenous, of really taking an action-oriented approach though to that, I will say. And so we're really excited about all the learning that's happening in so many different ways.
Well, this is really exciting. We're here with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and we're talking over a lot of stuff, and it's going really too fast for me. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and yes, I agree, treaties matter. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wah.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
How?
Oh. Wow. Hey, the park board did have no problem joining in on the howl. Oh, wow. Hey, you know, I want to, before the show is flying by, before I get any further, we should just do a full show with you guys because I'm still on the first question here and I have two more pages to go. Oh, but there's so many things going on. Acknowledgement, training, mapping, workforce development, access, interpretation, action, land stewardship. There is so much going on. Emma, where do we start? where do we start?
I'm actually going to pass this over to one of the Carries because they've been working on this specific stuff much more than I have, if that's okay.
Well, that's good, Emma, because I just wanted to say hi to you, and then we'll move it to the Carries now that I'm not confused on the Carries. Let's go with Carrie Christensen. How about that?
All right. So one of the things that we've been working on as part of this action plan, we're calling it, is really trying to lead with action at the park board. We understand acknowledgement is really important, and to acknowledge that we are on Dakota land, and that there is a really rich, rich indigenous community here in Minneapolis that we are accountable to. So I think that as we start to identify, like, what actually is this work, some of the near term outcomes, if we think of it through an evaluation model, is about increasing access for community to park systems, to park spaces, to park power structures, but also about increasing access for staff, for elected officials, for leadership, and better connections to both our local urban indigenous community, but also to tribal governments and local leaders. So how do we, it's kind of a two-way street of thinking about, I'd say that's in the most like immediate sense of this work. I think it's about increasing access from both sides.
Well, Carrie, I want to stick with you again. I just want to ask too, because the show is flying by, I want to talk a little bit about workforce development and what's your vision and what are you guys thinking about on that?
So on a very base level, it's about working to increase the representation of Native workforce at the park board. And so that could happen in lots of ways. We're a big youth employer here, and there's youth working in all different spaces of our system. And there's also opportunities. We have our own, as you may know, the park board is a separate government agency from the city of Minneapolis. So we in fact have our own police force. And so there's actually a lot of interest from our chief of police to do better outreach in the Native community. There's also just working across the entire system, leadership positions. Carrie Day is always really good about advocating for the fact that the labor force needs to be across the entire sort of stratosphere of the park board, from elected officials to executives to boots on the ground. We need to have representation of the Native community there.
Yeah, definitely. Carrie Day, talk a little bit about that. And we know here on Native Roots Radio how important that is. But, you know, everywhere from land stewardship to people working that look like us.
This is a system where you walk in the front door and there's nobody there that I could see that look like me at all. Mm-hmm. And the looks and the stares, it was like, okay, we're going to really do this because here she comes kind of thing. And it's been so interesting because they are open to learning new things. And I hate to make them sound like it's our partners here. Yes. In this are doing their best within the construct that they have to help start making these changes. Not easy for some really just like that same old, same old, same old. But when I came in, I was like, I could see Native people working in the accounting office. When I want to go and complain about finances, I'd like to see somebody that looks like me so I could relate a little bit better. Same thing with park police. You know, our kids over at Little Earth, they really actually love the park police. They love the horses. They like what they bring. And so I would really like to see some of our young adults consider a career in law enforcement. They would do so well with just between the land, water, sky, and animals that we steward through this system. We could really make a huge contribution to this leadership. We have so many smart people in our community, well-educated, lots of experience, lots of knowledge, elders that need to be asked to mm-hmm. participate. And so I'm opening, I you know, again, when asked, I open up my treasure chest of all these folks and just, You know, it isn't like I'm handing it out like candy, but I do go back and say, you know, these people want to know about us. How should I proceed? This is not a Carrie Day deal. This is for our people, for the Dakota people, for us to have some say, to be in the front instead of hiding in the woods somewhere. You know, it's a new day. And I just am so excited about all this work. Yeah, there's 7 focus areas. But again, there is something that ties us culturally to each of those 8 focus areas. And right. We are experts in those areas. And that's what I'm hoping to provide that opportunity to these folks and get that long-term commitment from them. I wouldn't have taken this on if it was just going to be a wham, bam, thanks. Right. We checked our box and off. I really feel I really feel like there's opportunity here and that we have willing partners. And that's a big deal in a system this big. And we have natives in there that are waiting for this. Mm-hmm. First thing I asked was, how many natives have we got working for this workforce? Are more than, you know, are there staff that do other things besides mow the lawn and trim the hedges?
Mm.
So again, that's how strongly I feel about this. We deserve to have our expertise and knowledge in this circle. And I'm here to open up those doors for those opportunities.
Emma, can we handle the excitement? I think I'm feeling it. How about you? Thank you so much, Carrie Day. Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely. I always enjoy hearing Carrie Day share her experiences, whether they're personal or work professional related. Robert, I hope you don't mind. Before we end, I just wanted to make a plug. There, Carrie Day and I have been working with community partners like Little Earth, NACD, and the Midtown Green Bay Coalition on an event next Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m. At 4 p.m. we'll be at Cedar Field. From 4 to 6, there'll be food, there'll be games, there'll be music. And then we're going to head over to East Phillips at 6, from 6 to 8. And again, there'll be we've got Aztec dancers are going to perform. We've got some food. We really hope this is going to be a great kickoff for our park planning project. So if you live in the neighborhood, if you go to either park, we hope you come on down and talk to us about what you want to see in the parks in the future.
And I think the key is free food. Carrie Christens, that sounds exciting.
Always. Carrie Day always has us bring the food.
Yeah. Food is love. Food is love in our community. Uh-huh. With love.
That's right. Well, I want to do this again as soon as possible, and I want to have a full show with all you guys because we just hit the tip of the iceberg, and Carrie and Emma, you are doing such great work for the community, and I just I'm really excited. This was a lot of fun for me, and again, way too fast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Robert. We'd love to come back if you'll have us.
We definitely will. This has been fun. Hey, if you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the 7th generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee, putting Wisconsin in the spotlight. We're there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Republicans' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Join us live this week from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Trump assassination attempt. I'm Dave Packer. The FBI now identifying 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Pennsylvania as the shooter at a Trump rally Saturday outside of Pittsburgh. This man saw a fellow Trump supporter take a bullet meant for the former president.
Saw the man that was hit in the head, and there was a lot of blood.
A man in the crowd was killed. Two others critically injured. Trump was